everyone, and welcome to the Let's Get Personal podcast, where we have conversations about everything. From common problems we all face when dealing with our lives to what's really going on in the world right now. This is a podcast where we take a deeper look into the very things we all face each and every day. My name is Jordan Antle, the host of this podcast, and in today's episode, we have a featured guest, a well-known name in the beauty and lifestyle community, a singer, vlogger, and also fellow YouTuber, Chelsea Madonna.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, and thank you so much for hopping onto this podcast. I'd like to formally congratulate you for being the very first special guest here on the Let's Get Personal podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited. What an honor.
I know, right? Like, oh, such a big deal. but no, seriously, I really do appreciate you hopping on. And you know what? Honestly, I have a lot of questions to ask you, as I'm sure I know you have a lot to talk about. So for the people who don't know who you are, I would love if you could tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so that's a loaded question. What do I do? It's
sorry.
No, it has changed. Well, I mean, this is perfect. It's the, you know, let's get personal. So I am a YouTuber, Instagrammer. People will call me a content creator or an influencer, I guess. It really depends on what terminology you like to use. But in addition to that, I am a trained and professional opera singer. And I work in, you know, my YouTube and content creation career led me into digital marketing, which I'm currently doing for Memorial University School of Music. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
Wow. You know what? There is a lot in there too. So what is, like, would you say is the main thing you're doing right now? Because I know you do YouTube, but is digital marketing also become like a really big thing you do? Or like what areas would you say you spend most of your time on?
Yeah, so right now I put most of my efforts into digital marketing. It's kind of a new adventure for me, and it's something I'm really passionate about. So I found myself putting so much work into digital marketing that my YouTube channel got put to the side just a little bit, and I needed that because I know, I'm sure you're aware, but the YouTube community has changed drastically. I started my channel back in, 2011? So it has changed a lot since that time. And yeah, right now my passion seems to lie in a very similar realm. But yeah, I'm not doing as much on YouTube as I used to. I am, however, putting a little bit more effort into my Instagram, so that's been fun.
Okay. No, that's, I mean, I definitely have to say YouTube has definitely changed dramatically. And, you know, speaking of, actually, because as you know, we've kind of known of each other for a good while now.
Yeah.
And so, and for any listeners out there that doesn't know this about me, so I'm also a YouTuber, and I've been kind of on the platform for about, 10 years now. I made my own YouTube channel in 2010, and I remember me and you actually talking a long time ago. It was a very long time ago, before I ended up moving away to Toronto, I believe.
Yeah, it was even before I moved to Toronto.
Yeah. But I do have some questions I'd love to ask you about YouTube, since as far as I could see, you know, that was something you were definitely like going very hardcore with for a while.
Yeah.
So I guess the question I got to ask you is, you know, why did you start YouTube in the first place?
So I started YouTube because my career path was moving into music and I needed a hobby, because for my whole life, music had been my hobby, and that's just what I spent all of my time doing. And then when I got accepted into the School of Music for my undergrad, I realized I'm putting all of my efforts into this. I need a little bit of an escape. And at that time, I was watching Ingrid Nilsson and Michelle Phan and all of those people, Community Channel. And I was like, I can relate to these people. I want to be able to do this. It looks like a lot of fun. And this was before I knew, I don't even think you could really make a career at YouTube at that time. When I made that decision. So yeah, I just got into it as a hobby, and it took off in a way that I never expected it to. And from that day, it has completely changed my life. The decision to start YouTube.
You know, that's, That's really interesting. I actually had a similar thing happen to me. The last job I actually worked at when I was at Memorial University. By the way, me and Chelsea here are both from Newfoundland. There's only one university in this entire province. So, but I actually got fired from my last job. I don't know if I've ever actually talked about this to many people. The only job I ever got fired from was a Halloween. I worked at a Halloween store, and there was some kind of mess up with the schedule, and they just fired me because the boss. But anyways, it was actually right then and there when my YouTube started to take off as well. So I think it's really interesting that you kind of had a similar, you know, you kind of had a bit of a takeoff, because I was doing it for a hobby and you were doing it for a hobby, and then like neither of us, I guess, realized that it could go somewhere.
No, I think if I had realized it would go somewhere, I would have approached it much more strategically. Because I'm very business savvy. I love marketing, and I love going in depth into business strategies. And at that time, I didn't actually know that was something that I would enjoy, but I think if I had my time back, I would have strategic to how I plan my channel and my content if I knew that it was going to turn into a business. Because when it did, at that point, I found myself having all of these conversations and all these questions where I realized, like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing. It didn't have a straight direction. And I think that's what kind of led me to step back from it for a little bit. Because I realized, you know, I can't fully explain what I do on YouTube in one sentence. and if I can't really narrow my topic and what I'm trying to portray and what I'm trying to put out there in the world, I'm not really sure of myself. So I don't want to put that out there, because that uncertainty makes the business side of things, I found anyway, in the lifestyle realm, a lot more difficult. So when brands ask you, so what do? And you can't really tell them. It can get tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't have if I were to talk to anybody who wanted to start YouTube now, you know, I would say the traditional things that people tend to say. Like, at the time, I didn't have an upload schedule. I didn't have a content plan. I think consistency it was and it still might be key, and so that was something that I think I really could have done from the start, but I just uploaded when I wanted to.
Yeah, and that's fair. And honestly, like, I mean, I really understand where you're coming from, because like it really was an overwhelming experience to just, you know, you just go from doing something for fun, and then all of a sudden it turns into, like you said, like a business, and you just, like, it's overwhelming almost. Especially if you're like going somewhere with it and you're just what am I doing? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, kind of like you're walking out in the audience, you're waving your hand, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Like, that's like my nightmare. It's like walking out on stage and not knowing the words to a song. Like, the number of times I've had that nightmare, it's not even funny. But I'm going to add to that and say, you know, I really didn't expect to go, you know, when my channel was taking off and when I was starting to do well, it was also around the time I was graduating from my master's, and I moved to Toronto, and I was asked to join the Much Music Network or the Digital Studios, what it was called at the time. And that's what really leveraged, like, that's what really made me realize, wow, this is a career now. I don't have to do anything else. That's amazing. That was definitely where that started, and from there, that's when things started to get a little more intense.
I remember seeing that Much video they did of you, that like introduction for your channel. I was like, this is the most like professional channel like intro I've ever seen. and I've been with like a good handful of networks, and there was never once they were like, "Hey, Jordan, let's hook you up with a nice fancy channel intro." I was super impressed, to be honest. Like, it looked really great.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, there's so few of us, and at that time they were just launching, and they had a lot of need to put that out there in the world and mm-hmm. to show the world, like, hey, look, we have this small boutique group of creators. This is what we do. And so I was really fortunate to be a part of that, especially in its beginning stages.
Yeah, no, definitely. I do have to ask, though. So back to when you were starting YouTube, you said it was kind of like an escape, right? From what you were doing. You said it was an escape from, like, from all the music you were doing, or is that what you were saying?
Yeah. I needed a little bit of a change because my life was so enthralled with practicing.
So would you say that you were secretive when you started YouTube, or were you, like, super open about it?
No, I was so secretive about it. I would not tell anybody. Like, I was dreading the day that my professors found out that I was on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't tell anybody. Like, some of my family knew, and a couple of my friends knew. Of course, that's all it took for it to kind of get out there on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I remember someone shared one of my videos on Facebook, and that's how I got my first 100 subscribers, because people in the group started following me.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, I totally relate with that. I was pretty embarrassed to talk about what I was doing on YouTube, to be real with you. And, you know, I totally get the struggle. But speaking of struggles, I actually did want to ask you. So being on YouTube for how long would you say? 8 years now?
Yeah, it'll be 8 years.
What would you say were some of the hardest struggles you've been dealing with or you've dealt with during your time on YouTube as a content creator?
Right. There's been a couple. I mean, there's been some struggles on the business side of things, but also the health side of things. It can be overwhelming. And mm-hmm. for me, I really like consistency. The thing about YouTube, it's freelance in general, is that you don't always know when your next check is coming in. Mm-hmm. I personally don't get paid from AdSense. I would not be able to live if I did, but I work with brands, and that's what I do. And so the inconsistency with that can be stressful sometimes. Although I never really had a problem with it after I started going, that really can get to you. You don't know if they're going to pay you on time, or you don't know when the next brand deal is going to come in. And that can be a little stressful. But I think on the other side of things, it's really wanting to create content that is great for your followers and mm-hmm. put something out there that you're also proud of. And that gets really hard after a long period of time. And although I love it, and the connections I've been able to make through YouTube were amazing, I've met some really great friends.
Okay. Would you say that there was a lot of burnout along mm-hmm. Along the path you were walking with content creating?
Yeah. The burnout happened. How personal do we get here? Because the burnout happened.
As personal as you want, honestly.
Well, let's get to the juicy stuff.
Oh, boy. All right.
So the burnout happened around the time that my breakup with my fiance happened.
Okay.
Kind of happens simultaneously. I ended up breaking up with my ex, and we had been together for 8 years, I think.
Wow.
And,
okay.
Yeah, around that time. And we were supposed this was the spring, and we were supposed to get married in the summer, and we just broke everything off.
Mm-hmm.
It was very close to the wedding date. It was all a very stressful time. At that same time was also the peak of my career. So I was trying to battle with putting out all of this content and constantly be online while also hiding this stress and the struggle that I was going through. And not only was that affecting, obviously, that relationship I was in, but also affecting the relationships of people around me, like my family and my friends. And so I think trying to do too many things all at once, I ended up cutting everything out. Keep it going for like this stress and this whirlwind. I managed to keep it going until like maybe that fall, the end of that summer. And after that, I couldn't anymore. I stopped and I didn't talk to my family or my friends for a really long time because I didn't know how anymore. And constant stress of needing to be present. And, you know, the thing about YouTube is that your subscribers see you. I like my subscribers to think of me as an equal.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I want to be able to be open with them and share things with them. And mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't do that at that time because it was too much. And so I burned out, and the amount of content I was posting around that time, it was just too much. And I wasn't able to pace myself well. So that was definitely an issue. And I think that's when the burnout started to happen. And it lasts a really long time. It reminds me of having like a creative artistic block.
No, it really does. It's a weird, unique situation too, I think, because...
Have you experienced that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, not to say I have a similar story, but I also kind of dealt with a weird heartbreak situation that was literally the beginning of like kind of my spiraling burnout. I really do understand where you're coming from. And would you say, as being a content creator, and back to you talking about transparency and talking to your subscribers as an equal, would you say that not being able to talk to them, was that more of a fear you had of them looking at you in a different light? Or?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah?
I think I was terrified to tell them about this big change. I was also afraid that that change would influence how my channel was going to move forward. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult for me to talk about anyway. And so hiding that from them was really, really hard. And you know what? I often think that many YouTubers tend to burn out when there are personal things happening in their lives that they can't share and they can't talk about. So how can you be authentic when you can't talk about those things? Because YouTube is so a completely different level than other platforms. And I think that's what makes that so difficult. And I really do think that a lot of YouTubers end up burning out when there are personal things happening in their lives. And to be honest, I'm not quite over mine yet.
No?
I wouldn't say so. I think I'm very happy with the strides I've made in my career. And mm-hmm. I am very happy with the experiences that I've gotten. And what I'm doing right now, I find absolutely amazing. But I still find it difficult to speak on YouTube the same way I did before that all happened. And that's something that I'm trying to figure out how to get over.
Do you kind of feel as if that you've kind of grown, like almost like your tolerance to the burnout on YouTube is like shortened?
Yes.
Yeah. So like, it's like kind of like you go on and, you know, what would have been maybe like 10 videos went to like 5 to like 3. And you already feel like, or like a 3 a week or something. And it's already like too much.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah. Like right now I'm posting once every couple weeks if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. And that's usually if there's a topic that I'm really, really, really passionate about, or I think that's super fun, then I'll make a video and I'll post it. But I believe I might have chatted with you about this when we ran into each other one day. But
oh, yeah, in university, yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't want to truly get back into it until I have a very clear vision and I feel like I can speak openly and freely with my audience. Because if I'm not putting out my authentic self, I don't know if my channel will have the same success. So I don't know.
That's really interesting, actually, because like I myself have been in many situations, especially recently, where, you know, I'm kind of going through some stuff and I always wanted to be transparent with my audience, but like I always feel like it bites me in the ass a little bit, you know?
Yeah, like, totally.
Yeah, like it's kind of like so many people, I think the thing that really bothers me about being a content creator is that, you know, you feel like with your audience, you grow like this personal connection with them, and you feel almost like they're family in a way, and you want to like let them know what's going on in your life. But then you'll second guess it because you're talking to people who are like, hey, listen, don't do that, you know? And yeah, it's really stressful because like everybody's like, don't tell your fans, don't tell anybody. And, you know, and then I guess sometimes for some people it does work out, but, you know, other times it's like it doesn't, I guess.
Yeah, totally. You don't know how they're going to respond. And that's the hard thing.
And I think it doesn't make it any better when people take what you say out of context. I think that's also kind of being vulnerable and somebody like misunderstanding what you're saying, I guess.
Definitely, definitely. Well, the two experiences I had, so within that 1 year, I feel like there was a lot I had to tell. Like there was no way I was going to be able to hide my breakup because I'd been with, you know, this person since the beginning of my YouTube career. Mm-hmm. So that was that's quite a long time, and they knew who he was and everything. And so I think that was a hard hit. And a lot of people blamed me for that, without even knowing the situation. And, so that was really difficult. But then I think they also got a hard hit because after that winter, I came out as gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up, you know, giving them these two huge pieces of information. I think some people thought that I was hiding things from, you know, hiding things intentionally from them, or they took it really personally, or they thought that I wasn't being, they thought I was lying to them, you know, that whole time. And they didn't understand, like, how come all of this time you didn't know you were gay? It doesn't make sense. You're just doing this for the views. And here I was being vulnerable in this situation that, you know, I put myself in hoping that other people could relate to me, and they did. And I get so many messages from people saying, you helped me so much. This has really made me feel much more content in myself knowing that you went through something so similar. And it was, but you know, the other side of things were, you know, me putting that out there and then people coming back with a really negative response. It's really hard to hear. And I think my audience, I think those two things hit my audience really hard. And it was very difficult after that to be like, okay, everything's cool now. Everything's fine. Here's this lipstick.
would you say sharing that was, do you think sharing, I guess, would you find that sharing all of this going on in your life to your audience, like, did it like polarize your audience or did it like keep them there? But there's just a lot more opinions, I guess.
No, it polarized them. I lost a lot of people. I lost a lot of subscribers. Yeah, I think I lost about 10,000 subscribers.
What? 10,000? Oh my goodness. Shame. Shame on anybody who subscribed to Chelsea here and unsubscribed. I am shaming you. No, that's not cool. I think it is really the hard reality of like the online, being a content creator in the online world. Like, I mean, there's so many nasty opinions and there's just so many like misunderstood messages, and I guess it just leads to some unfortunate situations and outcomes, I guess.
It does. And I guess if I was talking to somebody who wanted to start their own channel now, I would think about that. Do you want to put all of your personal life online? If you have a thick skin, or if you feel like, you know, whatever someone else says, at least I know I'm going to help one other person. If you're okay with that, awesome. But if you aren't okay with that, really be meticulous with your content and how you go about creating it, because it can be traumatizing. I personally I developed a really thick skin for music school. So I felt like I handled it pretty okay. I'm used to people critiquing me on a daily basis. So that part wasn't so difficult. But yeah, definitely being just talking about my true self, like that was much more difficult. But yeah, I think that is just part of the game.
I'm so glad you said all that, because I was literally staring at, I had that question there. if you had any like advice for anyone who wants to follow in your footsteps with YouTube, and you just said it, so that's perfect.
Ah, look at me go. I'm a mind reader.
Honestly, I'm starting to think so. But now I do kind of want to segue out of YouTube a little bit, because there's a lot more to you than YouTube. And you know, like you've been mentioning, you're into music now, or you have been for a while. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so I guess for anybody that doesn't really know what you're doing, what exactly are you doing in like the music space, I guess?
Yeah, so right now I'm working mostly online in the music space. It's kind of cool. I'm doing digital marketing for classical music. So there's nothing can be so opposite than like Mozart and Instagram. Like it's just so, but I grew up singing and my whole life, all I wanted to ever do was sing. And so I have my master's in opera performance. And so I'm a trained classical singer, but I also do some musicals. I'm hoping actually now that I'm back in St. John's, because I don't believe I mentioned that. I moved to Toronto and then I moved back to St. John's.
I actually have some questions I wanted to ask you about that, but continue.
Totally. So now that I'm back, I'm hoping that I can audition for a couple even local musicals and work on writing some of my own music again. That'd be a lot of fun. So I practice quite a bit and I make sure that my music stays alive, because that when it all comes down to it, that's what truly makes me happy. I feel myself when I'm singing. But it's so cool to be able to combine my interests in content creation and classical music and put it all into one. I love it. Mm-hmm. And my passion for higher education. Like, I love university. If I could stay in university my whole life, I totally would.
I feel that. I get that. I when I graduated film school, and I wasn't in school for like 2 years, and it felt so empty.
Oh yeah.
Oh, just and I was in Toronto when this happened too, so I was just like twiddling my thumbs every day downtown, like, what am I doing?
Yeah, right. Well, that's another thing, is that I feel so good when I'm in a routine and I have a lot of things to fill my time. But not only, I can be self-motivated, but I'm mm-hmm. more motivated when I'm contributing something to a cause. So for me, like my end goal, I would love to be able to, you know, work a job in the day and then do all of my content creation on the weekends and in the evenings. That sounds like a dream. So I'm starting to figure out that balance. And once that hits, I'm going to be so happy, because I need to stay busy. I need to keep going. And for me, I don't know, just creating YouTube videos and content creation, when you're by yourself, it gets really lonely. And it's hard to be self-motivated from that when you're spending so much time by yourself. And yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, that's a good point you bring that up. That was actually a really big thing I struggled with when I lived in Toronto. You know, I'd be home all day, every day, just figuring out what to do next, you know, for YouTube and paying attention to trends and, you know, and then before you know it, it's like the day's over and you're like, oh my God, like, geez. Yeah. and then it's just rinse and repeat, and like nobody understands really unless they do it themselves. And I don't know about you, but I've had many people tell me, or laugh actually, at the fact that I would call YouTube a job. And you've had that before?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's not great. But, you know, with that being said, I do actually have a question, because I myself, I would love to, I mean, who doesn't like music and who doesn't like to sing? But for somebody who, let's say, would want to, I guess, start singing, and perhaps throw it into like a hobby, a passion, make songs themselves in the future. I mean, for somebody who has been singing for a long time and has been through the thick and thin of being a singer, what advice would you give for somebody who, I guess, isn't very comfortable with singing, but would like to pursue that?
Well, first off, if you don't have any training, I would get voice lessons right away and find someone that you are really comfortable with. It might take a couple teachers, but yeah, find someone that you really enjoy and that can teach you techniques, whether you're singing pop or musical theater or opera, whatever you want to sing. But the thing that people don't realize about voice is that you're not an instrument in the same way as someone playing piano. Someone playing piano, it's almost an extension of themselves, where your voice is so personal. So you can get people talking to you about your voice, and it's so much, it feels very different than if someone says, hey, I like your piano playing. Then it's like, hey, I love your voice, because it is you. That's all there is to it. So it's important when you're moving forward to only compare yourself to yourself. I think I would say that with anything, but especially in singing, comparing yourself to someone else is very hard to do because they're a different person. They have a different voice. They have a different, how they're made up and their struggles they're going through with their own bodies and the way that their bodies are growing are completely different than yours. You're not like the same make of Yamaha, instrument. It's a completely different person. So only comparing yourself to yourself, and then that's how you're going to get better and you're going to progress much more efficiently and you'll be happier with how you progress. So that's probably my biggest advice when it comes to singing.
That is such good advice, Chelsea.
Thanks.
To be honest, that was my own actual little question I had for you. That's great. I think a lot of people really appreciate hearing that too, because I think that is definitely a huge thing out there. A lot of people who like to sing but are just really afraid to, I guess, and are too critical of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you always have something to learn, and it doesn't matter what skill it is. You can always learn more, and just taking little baby steps to make yourself comfortable, not throwing yourself all out there into the world right away. That can be really scary, but doing the steps that make you feel comfortable. I suggest getting a voice teacher or, learning an instrument and singing along with it. That can help a lot, and it can help improve your ear. Because that's definitely something that people find really tricky.
So no YouTube videos, no YouTube tutorials.
I have been asked so many times to make YouTube videos teaching people to sing. And all I can say, like, my network has been at me for the past like 3 years to make videos about like teaching singing. But it's so hard to do, because if I need to hear somebody for me to be able to help them, because everybody's technique is going to be so different. Mm-hmm. No one's going to be singing the same way. So in order to make videos teaching people to sing doesn't really make sense, because they can't hear you and then tweak,
That's really interesting. I've never actually heard that kind of advice before, but it's really resonating with me.
Oh, good. Well, if you ever want a voice lesson.
Oh, my God. All right. All right, let's... I'll just on my way, just right now. I did want to ask, though, I mean, for anyone curious, so do you have any plans in the near future to make a album or something, or an EP or anything like that? Or,
ooh, you're really getting personal, aren't you?
A little bit.
Well, that's that's something I've never talked about actually online. I have a couple of songs I've already written.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're not out there yet. That I really want to do. I've done a couple of covers online. I do have a music channel, but I don't advertise it because I don't do a whole lot with it again. But it is like a placeholder, because I do have some projects that I'm slowly working on, and I won't release anything until I think they are absolutely perfect.
Well, there you go, folks. I think you just answered some questions for some people.
But I do have an audio engineer that I've been chatting with. So, little sneaky tidbits.
Well, there you have it, guys. Chelsea's got some things coming up, but obviously that's on the down low for now. So with that being said, I do want to move on to one last section here. It's something that I think I have a lot of things I'd love to know about from your point of view, and which was the move you made to Toronto. So you said that what led to moving to Toronto was with Much Music. Was that what initially started it, or was there other reasons?
There was other reasons. I did my master's in Vancouver, so I actually moved from Vancouver to Toronto. And then I was in St. John's in between for just a little bit, and I had no intention. I didn't want to go. I was in Vancouver and I loved Vancouver and I would have stayed there if it wasn't so darn expensive to live
Oh, yeah.
there. My professor at the time wanted me to stay and pursue opera in the city, but like I said, I was engaged and my fiance at the time was in doing his doctorate in Toronto, and I didn't really have a choice. I felt like I had to go. I moved to Toronto and I resented moving to Toronto. And I think that made my experience very difficult at first because it wasn't really my choice. Even though, looking back on it now, it's like, of course I had a choice. I can do what I want. I'm a free grown woman. But just in that situation and in the relationship I was in, I really felt like I couldn't make my own decision. I was there, and when I got there, 2 months later, I was contacted by Much Music, and that was awesome. That's kind of what changed things for me, and that's when I started to appreciate the city a little bit more. But to be honest, when I first moved, I was terrified.
Honestly, yeah. It's a big city.
City, and my channel was like just in its like it was just going up to its peak, and I spent a lot of time in an apartment. I was at Bain Dundas, so it was a really busy area of town.
Oh no. Oh yeah. That's like the
And
rich district, I think.
was but of course, like at the time, we weren't really rich, so
Oh
I
no. I meant like that's where like Gucci is and all that,
Yeah,
like
exactly.
that
And so
yeah.
our apartment was, because of that, our apartment was super, super small. I lived in a 400 square foot studio apartment.
Oh no,
That's what
that's
I
Toronto for
mean.
you. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really tricky. That adjustment was really difficult because I didn't want to go in the first place. And I started to love it even more after I met my girlfriend. So this was like a year later. And she started showing me. I moved up to St. Clair and Bathurst, so it's a little more north for those of you who aren't from Toronto. And it was a little bit more calm up there, but still close to everything. And she showed me all the cool parts of Toronto and how to, you kind of almost have to make your own places. Like you have to make it, what am I trying to say? You kind of have to try to make it your own. So we had our favorite places that we would go and our own community. I guess that's what I'm getting at. And that's when I started to really appreciate the city for what it was. But I was really scared of the place, and I felt really alone, and it was tricky in that way. Although it progressed my career in ways I could have never imagined, and I made connections that I never would have if I had stayed in Vancouver or in St. John's. But it was really, really lonely.
Yeah, I think that was loneliness was and is like I think one of the biggest problems, like not even just Toronto, but Vancouver and big cities in general, I think have a really big problem with because like everybody is just so I don't know if you noticed, but like being in like a big city with a lot of people around you, it's you almost just become very like desensitized to everybody.
Yes, you
Yeah,
do. And you learn not to make eye contact with people or say hello to everyone in your building. And skills you have to learn because where we're from, like, that's what you do at a common courtesy. But
Yeah, it being that, I mean, that in itself would be a whole other episode of a podcast. Just being a Newfoundlander in Toronto. Oh my, you could talk for hours about that. But you know, with all that being said, what would you say was like one of the biggest struggles that came out of living in Toronto besides the loneliness? Like, would you say loneliness was the biggest and really only big problem you had, or like were there other things that kind of came with it as well?
I think I felt, talking a lot about struggles, I just want to also put out there that I had a lot of really, really great experiences and met some amazing friends. But I came from a very different background than the people that I was involved with in Toronto. So especially that of the Instagram and blogging community, I went to a lot of events and met up with a lot of people, went on a lot of press trips, and the people that were involved in those things had a very different view and outlook on life than I did. And our personalities were really, really different. I don't know if you've noticed, but I find that a lot of the blogging community and even some YouTubers are quite introverted. And
yeah.
Not a bad thing. I just think that not a bad thing at all, but I'm a very extroverted person. I'm a performer by nature, I guess. And I also had very different values. So going into these things, like I would go in and be like, "Ooh, I want to experience it. Cool. Let me go make conversation with everyone. Woo." Where I found a lot of other people of their work in a different way. So they would be not so much living in the moment so much as they were capturing everything and planning out all their content as the day was going on. And I found it really hard to connect. I think that's, yeah, that's definitely what it is. It was very, very hard to connect with the people in the same genre as me. Whereas I found when I went to the YouTube space, it was a little more different. Kind of found my people in the YouTube space a little bit more, but did you ever go there?
Space. I did. I found that a bit of a strange little spot, to be honest.
It was.
the people, like, it was so weird. I'll never forget when I went down to visit. I happened to go to, when I was in film school, there was another YouTuber there. And we both walked down. And I just remember, like, talking to the people who were there. And they just seemed so, like, uncaring about being, you know, a YouTuber. Or, like, the fact that, like, there was kind of like a status. Kind of like, oh, if you have 10,000 subscribers, you can do this. And if you have 50,000, you can do this. And
yes.
100,000 and 1,000,000. And I'm just there like, you know, I've really tried to be very humble and not, I guess, like pompous about where I've gone. But
that's
I
love about you, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really, speaking about people being introverts, I couldn't tell you how many people I've come across in the YouTube community who have unfortunately just been very full of themselves, and they're closed off because it seems as if, you know, I really think it's not their fault necessarily. I think YouTube just does this where people try to like get something out of you, even
yes.
if you don't realize it. You're just like, you're trying to be friendly, but realistically somebody's trying to get a contact or trying to get a collab or,
yes.
you know, and I think it just makes people very untrusting with each other.
And that's where I think, definitely. And you know what? It's funny that you say that because I feel I can feel that on the opposite side of things. And I'm so glad you said that. When I was in those spaces, I had to be very careful with how I spoke because I didn't want bigger influencers thinking that I wanted something from them because so many people yeah. were after things from them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was. Like all of the, you know, I'm what... In the marketing world, I'm what they like to call a micro influencer. And so I have a really, really high engagement rate. So I tend to get some pretty consistent work. I never felt the need, or I'm not that type of person to want to go up to someone who has more followers than me and be like, "Hey, I'm going to be your friend now. Let's get, you know, let's collab. Let's get something out of this relationship."
Yeah.
You know, to help further me. And I knew most people that I knew were like that. And that was really tricky because, you know, making friends, I felt like there was that status. And I do think that YouTube kind of pushes that a little bit with their events. Like you were saying, you have to have 10,000 subscribers to do this or 1,000,000 to do this. And it's, yeah, it's very interesting to see that dynamic. And when you get all of those people of varying levels together, how they interact with each other.
Yeah. I've found the higher the YouTuber is in terms of subscribers, the more like closed off they are. I'll never forget, I was in a party in LA, and this was years ago, and everybody was going around, well, not everyone, but there was a lot of people going around, and this was a party full of YouTubers where
right.
they were introducing themselves by saying how many subscribers they had.
No.
You know, like, 500,000 subscribers, how's it going, man? And I'm just like, and at the time I had like 900,000. Like, I was probably one of the bigger YouTubers there, but, like, again, I really hated this, like, status thing. And it would rattle me because,
that,
like,
makes everyone feel shitty. Oh, sorry, I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, yeah, no, you can say that. That's totally okay. Yeah, no, it was gross. It was really gross. Like, it was really cool to be at that party because it was like a, it was such a typical movie LA like scene. Yeah. You know, you're on the hills and like you see LA in the background and it's just really cool. But like, it was really gross. Like, I just feel like there was no genuine people there. And even being one of the bigger subscriber, most subscribed there, like it just was like, are we really like at this point, everybody?
Right. You know, oh, God. And,
yeah. But no, I totally understand where you're coming from. And you know, it's even when I was in Toronto, with other YouTubers I met, it seemed like that as well. Yeah. But you know, with that being said, I do want to ask you a final question, but before I do, where can everybody listening to this podcast right now, where can they find you online?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram or on YouTube at Chelsea Madonna. All my handles are the same. It's Chelsimadonna. Chelsea Madonna.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, Chelsea, my last question I have for you is, what influence do you want to have on the world?
I like that question. Portray a positive influence on the world. And I want to be a good role model. That's something that's really important to me. I want to project positivity, and I want especially young women to know that they can do whatever it is that they want to do, and there's nothing holding them back, and just to go out there and get it. That's what I want to be able to put out there, and hopefully one video at a time, we'll get there.
That's powerful. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to be on this podcast with me. Thank you for sharing all this amazing personal stuff. I mean, if I had an audience behind me, I'd be telling them to clap right now. Like, but no, seriously, thank you again for your time. And I really hope that a lot more people can now find you and experience the joy and creativity that you bring to any space that you're a part of.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun. I want to do a podcast now. This is awesome.
Well, I'm glad. And I just want to say thank you. And I want to also thank everybody here that has made it this far into the podcast. You also deserve a round of applause. It's been like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Good job. Awesome. Sticking around.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Let's Get Personal podcast. I hope for everyone out there listening that you enjoy this podcast. And be sure to rate it, subscribe to us, and be sure to listen for more. Until next time, we'll see you in the next podcast. All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.